following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and Dan Dubose, CPA. Dan, are you connected up with us?
I am. Good morning.
Okay, great. It is a good chilly morning here in Houston.
And, it is indeed.
Feels good. It's been a while since I felt this kind of weather. Let's go ahead and finish our disclaimer, and then I'm having a connection issue here with some Wi-Fi, so we're going to take a quick break. As you know, if you listened to the show before, we are going to be talking about some tax strategies today, as well as I think we're going to have time to discuss one syndication project that's underway. And just because you hear us talk about things that sound good for you, they may not be. So please connect with your existing professionals, be it tax, legal, investment advisors, real estate advisors, and others, and make sure that what you thought you heard is indeed correct. And more importantly, it's correct for you, because your facts and circumstances may differ from many others. And, you know, without us seeing what you have, it's hard for us to comment on whether it might be a good fit. So if you want to do that, if you don't have advisors currently, feel free to go to our website at baplanner.com. That's baplanner.com. And you'll see at the top right, we've got a forms link. And then right next to it, we've got a call link where you can submit your forms and then schedule a call. And we'll be happy, Dan and I, to discuss your facts and circumstances and how we might be able to sync up for you to take advantage of some of the things that we discuss here on the air. So in any event, let's go ahead and take a break, and let me see if I can't get connected here, and we'll be right back momentarily.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Operation Turkey, with the help of the Rotary Club of Greater Houston Veterans, is underway to provide 8,500 Thanksgiving meals to families in need in the Houston area. Each year, veterans and leaders in our community converge to source and secure needed donations and food to be able to quickly process and deliver hot meals to people who would ordinarily be forgotten or go without. The team of volunteers converge on November 23rd through Thanksgiving at the American Legion Memorial Spring Branch and in Pasadena, the Katy Elks Lodge, and St. Paul's United Methodist Church in Houston, to provide hot Thanksgiving dinner, which consists of turkey, corn, beans, yams, mashed potatoes, dressing, and pumpkin pie delivered to their door. To execute flawlessly, we are seeking volunteers to assist with food processing and distribution. To volunteer or to request a meal, please visit OperationTurkey.com. That is OperationTurkey.com.
If you're looking to sell or buy a home and in need of the best realtors out there, look no further than the Matthews team at RE/MAX Legends. Ronnie and Kathy Matthews have instilled in each and every team member their hard work and honest values, and believe me, it's paid off. This incredible team's agents has an average tenure of over 10 years, so it's clear that the Matthews team truly knows the Houston area market and what it takes to get a home sold quickly. They're employee-owned, they care about their clients, and they always go the extra mile to ensure that each sale and purchase is seamless and smooth. The Matthews team are the number one RE/MAX team in Texas and have been for over 20 years. Call the Matthews team at 281-440-7900 or see for yourself and go online at ronnieandkathy.com. They sell over 900 homes a year, and they know every inch of the buying and selling market in the greater Houston area. Call the Matthews team. I chose them as my realtor, and you should too. The Matthews team and RE/MAX Legends, your realtor for life. 281-440-7900. That's 281-440-7900.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and Dan Dubose, CPA. And I've got my connection back, so life is good. And by the way, I am in the studio in Houston today and here at KSEV. And first time, I was just telling the producer today that I walked into this same square footage here in the building, and it looks identical to what it did literally 20 years ago was the last time, or maybe 19, that I set foot here in the studio KSEV, and nothing's changed. I think they've got some of the same microphones, some of the same headsets. But anyway, it's good to be back for the period that I'll be here. It's not going to be long. Dan, let's pick up with some news articles, and I guess the one that I saw, and it was pre-election day, but it was a good summation of what's likely to happen. Depending on who gained control, and I guess we could still talk about it as if we don't know yet really who's going to control the House. At least it looks pretty certain. Who's going to control the Senate, unless somebody like Joe Manchin surprises us, which I keep hoping. I don't know how much of the Biden slap in the face he can take. It seems like it happens every time he turns around now. And I would love to see him change parties, but I guess that's probably not likely. But in any event, what Politico talked about is if, you know, the Republicans were to win, or control, I guess is the operable word, it's likely that you're going to see the attempt to roll back things like the IRS adding 87,000 agents, assorted other things that are negative. And you've got GOP congressmen saying they'll do everything or anything, including the debt ceiling, which I know we've heard that before. And, of course, it never happens because in Washington, the overall preponderance of the congressmen and congresswomen go along to get along. And so, you know, when it comes to things like the debt ceiling, where they say, well, you know, we're going to dig in and we're not raising the debt ceiling and you're not going to be able to pay for all these things, all of a sudden the other side, whichever it might be at the time, starts talking about assigning blame for putting the economy into the tailspin. And boy, do they heal very quickly when they start looking at who's going to pay the price, who's not going to get reelected next time is what it amounts to. But I think, with regard to the Democrats controlling, if they end up in control, Dan, what's a couple things? I can think of several that are going to be targets. What do you see in terms of what will likely change? Maybe things that will sunset already under the TCJA 2017 Tax Act, where, you know, there's many things that are going to go away 112026 if Congress does nothing. And yet there's also the opportunity for whoever's in control to overtly either extend or to cut short some of those provisions. And I'm just curious, Dan, what do you think some of those might be?
Yeah, I think one of the first things we're going to look at is something with taxes. We're going to have to do something with getting this tax rate secure for going forward. You know, we know it's going back to the old rates if they do nothing. And Congress is not good for doing nothing. You know, they're always finding something to do. And if it has anything to do with taxes, you know it's going to be at the head of the list, I believe. So I think something will be done there. And it will not be a decrease. It will be an increase. I think you can certainly see that coming from what we've talked about here in the last, since I've talked on the radio with you a couple of times. Taxes has been at the head of the list of increasing taxes.
Yeah, and it's important to understand there's a lot of ways to raise taxes without raising rates. Correct, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
And one that I see, and it's already being talked about, is doing away with the QBI deduction. Why don't you explain what that is and how it might impact?
QBI is qualified business income. You get a deduction up to 20%. Well, your flow-through income. Flow-through income comes from partnerships and subchapter S tax corporations or LLCs, taxless corporations. It's a nice benefit that came in with the 2018 tax year. That it has a very good effect on those that do run through a subchapter S for the most part. That we have a lot of clients that do have it just simply because it is seems to be here of late a preferred tax system for small business being anything with less than 100 investors. And, you know, revenues matters not as long as you keep it below 100 owners of the subchapter S corporation.
Yeah, but QBI affects a lot more than that. Obviously, Schedule C, sole proprietors, that invest in real estate on
rental
Schedule
income.
E. And bottom line is, even though it does start to phase out, I believe, for 2023, if I recall, many of the perks under the 2017 Tax Cut Act start to lose some of their capability here for the 2023 tax year. So 2022 will be the last year that you can get 100%. We're talking about things like bonus depreciation.
Goes away.
Right. And there's a myriad of others. But I'll tell you, the Democratic wing has never liked the QBI. And I'll just tell you, that's got to be on the chopping block, I think, before the phase-out gets us out to 1-1-2026.
Another thing that probably will come about to be talked is the SALT tax, the state and local limitation on taxes. We're limited to $10,000. That includes sales tax in Texas, which is a somewhat big number. Of course, real estate taxes.
Yeah.
And in other states, you've got income taxes in the big coast states where they have super high tax rates. You know, you get a $10,000 a month tax, and much less $10,000 a year tax rate or tax hit. It could be the that's another way of raising that rate that you're talking about without raising the rate.
Well, that's right. I mean, they can collect a lot more taxes by simply,
and have collected a lot more taxes from several of our clients just simply because of the limitation on that $10,000.
But, you know, again, we're talking about if the House were to be controlled by the Democrats as well as the Senate. They've obviously pretty well – well, it appears the Senate's a foregone conclusion. The House, I'm not sure – you know, the media makes it sound like it's still in doubt. You would expect that. I'm not sure that it is, but as we sit here this morning – we can't say, and I've lost track of how many races are still yet to be called, but I think it's over 20 or more, isn't it, Dan?
Yes, it is, what I heard last, yeah.
So theoretically, both parties could get to that magic, what is it, 218 that they have to have?
218,
yeah.
Yep.
So let's hope. I guess it's too late to go vote, although it may not be if you're in the Democratic Party. You might still be able to do that, right, Dan?
But, we'll find some loose ballots somewhere.
Yeah. Well, it is remarkable when you look at some of the folks, even here locally, that won their elections that you just thought, how in the world did they get enough people to vote with some of the near-term history that's occurred? And you can say that at almost any level of government. And it's crazy. But so, you know, the rates could, I mean, again, where I was headed there is if the Democrats gain control of the House, and of course they've already got the Senate, you could see rates go up now as opposed to waiting until the automatic increase that occurs 1-1-2026. Again, the tax cut, the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act had many provisions that were tied to being restored back to where they were at the time of the act, 1-1-2026. So the rates could go back up. The lack of brackets could go away that were created as part of the 2017 act. That, depending on where your taxable income is, that could represent more than a little change in terms of an increase, because those extra brackets did a lot to help minimize, you know, your actual incremental tax that might get paid as your income went up. So I guess enough said about, you know, these brackets, you know, in terms of the increase. But I think what this points to, and I know we keep harping on the Roth conversion, Roth particularly in our case, what we work with are 401 solo K type of programs or plans. And, you know, if you've got pre-tax money, and I'm going to explain it again, I'm going to try to go slow. Dan says I gloss over some of the rationale. Why do we even want to do a Roth conversion? I guess I assume people understand that your income that you earn from a Roth, it's on a multitude of issues that you come out ahead. The first of which is income tax. And I think most people understand that their income tax goes away on the income that they earn through the Roth. You would agree with that, Dan? Is that basic enough? For a starting point. So, yeah. Dan, tell me another thing that is a positive for those that convert pre-tax money to Roth, especially as you're heading into retirement. I mean, that's where it really starts to be markedly different in terms of your outcomes.
In the long term, you can it's pass it on to your kids or to your heirs, and they will pay no tax. I mean, it can stay around forever and ever and be no never be taxed.
Well, I was referring to some things a bit more tangible for moi, not for the kids, but for the person that has the pre-tax money now that's thinking, hey, do I really want to spend some tax dollars? What am I going to get out of it? And it's not taking care of your kids. That is a byproduct that will happen for those of you that have that as one of your goals, certainly. But what about as we're approaching Social Security age, Dan? What happens there if I've got most of my income coming in via Roth investments?
Well, it's not taxed for it. It doesn't cause your Social Security to be taxed.
That's right. That's a huge one. That's huge. Most of our clients pay tax on 85% of what? $40,000 or so in Social Security income. And that's because they've got income streams that have not yet been taxed. And the Roth sidesteps those, we call them provisional tax brackets, that are a side calculation that work towards getting your Social Security to a level on the brackets, your tax base, that's going to get taxed. And I've had, I can't tell you how many clients I've had over the years that, you know, had, so they got Social Security, and maybe in the first few years they didn't have much happening otherwise. And then they had a real estate, let's say they were invested in a real estate partnership, and all of a sudden the partnership exited, and here comes a big wad of income through, and they're just trying to mentally make the calculation of bracket times income, and they're thinking, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. It's a lot more tax than that calculation of, I don't know, 22, 24, 32% times the income that came in from the sale. Well, what's going on there, Dan? Explain that calculation.
Social Security can be taxed up to 85% of your Social Security income can be taxed at whatever your marginal tax rate is that particular year. You know, you settle up on a real estate partnership where you've got your two times money, so you've got $100,000 profit out of the deal. You got that new cash that's coming in. You got to get it reinvested, but you got to pay tax on that gain, and that could cause your Social Security $40,000 about the average these days for many of our clients. So 85% of that's a.
I mean, that's potentially another $10,000 or $12,000 in tax.
Every bit of it.
Right. And so how do we offset that? Well, we do several things. We try to convert to Roth if you know the client understands the benefits of that, not just for the current year, but for the rest of your life. It's huge. We can show you mathematically how much it adds to your retirement wealth. We also look to deploy the funds out of the partnership that's exiting into another partnership before the same year ends so that we can offset a chunk, maybe all of it, depends on the character of the new project. And also it depends on rules like this tangible bonus depreciation, whether those might get extended. So there are ways that we try to mitigate it. However, most people don't even understand the concept of what's getting ready to clobber them. And I guess that's why we're talking about this today, because we think the current paradigm will continue in terms of needing to offset those gains. And it's going to get worse because, you know, obviously if the rates go up, which the rates are going up, the question is when and by whom. it happens. And if you don't understand
and by how much,
well, that's right. If you don't understand the math, we've talked about it many, many times on the air. The current brackets need to double 200%. Actually, it's more than double. I'm sorry. And if they don't, 2029 or 30, we're going to have a major depression because we will no longer have any discretionary budget remaining after we pay the interest on the debt. In fact, we won't be able to cover the interest on the debt at the rate it's growing currently. And even if it doesn't grow more than the $400 billion a year that it currently accrues at, that's the current interest rate or the current interest expense that gets added to the existing deficit. And it looks like it's going to go up to about $1 trillion based on the inflationary trends and the current interest rates. But that's just details. You know, we don't need to worry about details, right? But so anyway, what else within the context of Social Security, Medicare, et cetera, Dan, does the Roth provide a way to sidestep something that's really going to be a big deal for many clients that have money in their 401s and IRAs, and all of a sudden they've got to start taking their required minimum distributions or RMDs. Currently, it's age 72. It's likely going to get adjusted up to age 70 or 75. I'm sorry. There's a bill that's been circulating. You could call it bipartisan. It has support on both sides of the aisle. It's ostensibly to help fix the Social Security problem, which, you know, the way Congress thinks, well, let's just talk about, forget Congress, let's talk about the president. You know, you may have seen his comments recently when they passed the Inflation Reduction Act about how we were making a down payment on deficit reduction. What was the amount, Dan? It's like $400 billion, I think.
Real close. To it, yeah,
right. And so two things come to mind. That'd be like me giving you a quarter. If I wanted to buy your $500,000 house, let me give you a quarter here. Let me make a down payment on that house. Okay. So it's absolutely irrelevant. And then not 2 weeks later, he turns around and does executive order or use the forget the act from earlier in the 2000s that allowed executive action because of certain emergency crises. And even though they had just declared the pandemic was over, you know, we've solved the pandemic, they put the student loan forgiveness plan in place under that act that would indicate that the pandemic was not resolved. And so by a stroke of the pen, no congressional vote, no vote. It was simply the president saying, we're going to forgive, I forget how many billions of dollars of student loans. And that right there, even by CBO calculations, which CBO is not always aggressive enough when they're looking at costs. Well, it depends on which party it seems like is pushing for certain legislation. But bottom line is, I think even CBO scored it higher than the, what was it, $350 billion was the number that Biden said it would cost. It's going to be over $1 trillion. That said, we just had a judicial ruling this week. It's not the Supreme Court. It was a federal court, but I'm not sure what the appeals process might look like. But they've essentially put the kibosh on it. So at least for now, the website's come down, or the application for having your debt forgiven has come down. Let's hope that there's some... It's fiscal responsibility. It's not whether you want, you know, student loans to be forgiven or not. That's almost irrelevant. Who doesn't want free money? The issue is who's going to pay for it and how are we going to pay for it? And when you look at it in light of the existing deficit, it's just hard to see how we should be the ones footing the bill for things that essentially the university crowd is the one that benefited. It's not even the students benefit, obviously, but the ones that have raped and pillaged are these universities that have built all these wonderful campuses and buildings and programs, et cetera, and they're not having to fund one penny of this debt forgiveness. And it just seems so misplaced. But anyway, humane, sure, it's humane. Fiscally responsible, it's no more fiscally responsible than the $80 billion we sent for the Ukraine people, which it's wonderful that we can help. Let's see how much of that we get paid back. And again, why are we the ones that went and put it on our credit card as opposed to sharing that a little bit more equitably with some of the other countries? So, Dan, what else does the Roth conversion give us other than Medicare? Well, we really didn't talk about Medicare Part D. Let's talk about that.
Well, it keeps that, your IRMA account keeps it under control, keep it down so that you don't pay that extra amount that may be due because of your higher income, taxable income in any particular year.
Well, if you've got, I don't have the break even, but if you've got, I believe it's anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million, maybe lower. I need to go back and look at some sensitivity analysis in retirement money, and you start taking the RMDs on that, and I've forgotten what the current divisor typically is, but it's going to add what, Dan, another 20 or, well, it depends. That's a big range, I realize, but it could be another 25 to 30K, maybe more. I mean, obviously, it's going to go up as you move along, and I've seen where people end up getting tagged for, you know, over the rest of their life, it's several hundred thousand dollars in those payments.
Yeah, it can add up over a lifetime of several hundred thousands of dollars if you're taking that big slice out of your RMD because out of your IRA, your required minimum distribution. It can add to your Social Security, your Medicare, and your Medicare drug tax, premium.
Well,
I had a client call me this week. She said hers was doubling because she made $12 over the $138,000 balance. I mean, it cost her an extra. And this was just, you know, poor planning on her part. And I guess I need to take a little credit for that blame, too, because $12, I could have found a $12 deduction somewhere, I think.
Well, the problem is you're not really involved in time. I mean, unless you've got clients that understand the value of planning, and that's difficult. I mean, it's easy to sell tax planning, like, for instance, with our self-directed 401 trust, which, by the way, that includes the Roth component. Think of it as a duplex, if you will, like a duplex home, and we use both sides. We use the pre-tax side for certain things. We use the Roth side. But, you know, the issue on getting people energized and focused on why do Roth. I had a client just this week that I, you know, we were talking about another matter and somehow, you know, no doubt on my part, I worked the Roth conversion into the conversation. And he said, well, why do I need to convert to Roth? I didn't think I have to pay tax on any of that money as it's earned, you know, meaning, you know, he's in transactions or rocking along, making money. The money comes back to the 401 trust. And he's right. There's no tax due then. But there's going to be tax due when he starts taking money out, whether it's because he wants it to live on or whether it's to satisfy the required minimum distribution requirement. And he hadn't connected the dots that's the tax we're getting rid of by doing the Roth conversion. So maybe you, Dan, I think you're right. I think I haven't been explaining correctly or clearly enough that the reason to do the Roth is not just to go pay some tax right now. You know, we all would like to avoid paying the conversion tax, but it's a chance to do the conversion and pay the tax that's due on that huge stack of money that you've got sitting out there. And if I ask you, like I ask him, how much do you have in your 401, it's like, well, I've got $1 million. And I said, well, is that all yours? And he goes, well, yeah, I'm the one that put it in. I said, well, no, it's not. You're forgetting your partner. It's the IRS.
And we 50% tax rate.
Well, no, we hope it would only be that because we don't know what the tax rate's going to be. All we know is what CBO said back in 2009, Congressional Budget Office, again, they said the rates, the brackets needed to go up by 150%. That's when the deficit was a peanut compared to what it is now. And the interest rates were smaller, and there were several other things that were more manageable. Now everything's gone off the reservation. You know, we're 135% deficit-wise compared to our – or debt-wise, I'm sorry, compared to our GDP. Back then, we were probably less than half of whatever the annual GDP was. So it's gotten markedly worse, and – now, the former comptroller of the currency, David Walker, or comptroller of the currency, the government CPA, I believe is how you would refer to him, he's saying it's a 200% adjustment that's necessary. And so that doesn't leave much money for those at the top. I mean, this is going to go back to the rates when we were babies, Dan. I think we were in that sliver that had a 93 or 96% incremental marginal tax bracket. And that's essentially what that upper bracket's going to have to pay if we're going to do something. And I don't mean put a Band-Aid on it. The Band-Aid is usually what the congressional approach would be. But there's going to be some significant increases. So, again, the tax brackets are on sale. Think of it as at least a 50% discount to where they're headed, and the Roth conversion is some low-hanging fruit, works on to reduce your cost of living, including your tax bill, significantly. And the beauty about marrying Roth conversions with the real estate private partnership syndications that we talk about, and we're getting ready to discuss one here again this morning, is that in private company investments, we get a much lower tax base to make that Roth conversion. It's not money that's sitting in the stock market that you can sell tomorrow or today. In other words, you've got high liquidity and assorted other risk factors are not there that are there with real estate, which we accept as real estate investors. And for you to be able to convert your $1 million to Roth for somewhere around, I don't know, $400,000 to $500,000, half of what it would cost you if your money was sitting in stocks, bonds, index funds, mutual funds, all the things that are part of the market, quote-unquote, when your money's sitting at Fidelity or Schwab, et cetera. Then your tax on $1 million is going to be $400,000-plus. Cut that in half easily. It's actually less than half because we're not going to do it in one fell swoop. We're going to optimize over the next 4, 5, 6 years, and we'll end up paying much, much less to get that money over to Roth. And I know I've said a lot right there, and I know, Dan, you're going to say, man, here you go again. We're limited on time, but if you don't understand the ability to convert your Roth, let's just call it half. It's even less than half. Then you need to connect with us, and you need to get started, and you need to take advantage of the fact that the tax brackets are on sale. I'm going to keep saying that and get that done. Dan, let's take a break, and when we come back, we will pick up with a syndication that we picked out of the stack this week and look at some of the math metrics on something that's new and trying to make it in this current these current headwinds we have. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at nprawls.com, Nathan at nprawls.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
How would you like to help save a life simply by praying at the right place and the right time? Houston Coalition for Life invites you to join in their mission that has seen over 9,400 women choose life for their unborn child. Join pro-life volunteers as they peacefully stand and pray outside of Planned Parenthood and other abortion facilities throughout the year. Sign up for 1 hour of prayer as Houston Coalition for Life offers free ultrasounds and practical assistance. Join Houston Coalition for Life in empowering pregnant women today. Learn more at Houston Coalition.
Connect with the Chris Salcedo Show.
Get that? Where'd you get that? Where'd you get that dollar from? I'm sorry. What did you say, sir? I'm sorry. What did you say, sir? I'm sorry. I couldn't hear what you said.
Start your mornings with the Chris Salcedo Show, 7 to 9 a.m. on AM 700 KSEV.
Universal Propane Grill and Light is where all the great grill masters shop for top-tier quality products to barbecue or cook a great piece of meat. Owner Bob Fulton always emphasizes to me the importance of selling a great quality product, whether it's a new grill or one of the many outdoor kitchen accessories. Don't be fooled by buying products online. I assure you, you're not getting what you're paying for. Stop by Universal Propane Grill and Light and allow Bob Fulton to explain and inform you on true quality products. And Universal Propane Grill and Light can help you plan your outdoor kitchen so it is built safely and built to last for many years. And all of their outdoor kitchen items, from grills, griddles, side burners, power burners, refrigerators, doors and drawers, and much more, are all in stock, so you can purchase what you need for your outdoor kitchen and get it built and finished today. Universal Propane Grill and Light, 9106 FM 1960 West, just west of 249. Or give Bob a call today at 281-894-8878 or visit their website, gasgrillwarehouse.com. Universal Propane Grill and Light.
KSEV and its advertisers want to thank you, the listeners, for all your continued support. Without you supporting our advertisers, there would not be a Voice of Texas. We stand behind our clients, and if you're looking to boost and grow your business, join the great team at KSEV and its loyal audience by calling a member of our sales staff at 281-588-4800. That's 281-588-4800. KSEV, loyal listeners and dependable advertisers, are the Voice of Texas.
Okay, welcome back to more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and Dan Dubose, CPA. And Dan, let's pivot and talk about a current syndication offering. That's a real estate private partnership syndication offering. And I guess just to preface this offering, I think we're seeing some softening in the math metrics that we look for. And it's, I wouldn't say it's, you know, a situation where you want to quit investing, certainly. I mean, when you look at your options, how does that option look where you get out of stocks and bonds and set your money in your money market account, Dan? Just give me some idea of what you're seeing rate-wise on those.
You know, I was listening to one announcer yesterday, or one talking head. He says he's out of the market completely. He's in cash, of course, cash being a money market account. But right now in your money market, you can get a 4 or 5% rate. You know, or you can get in T-bills and get around a 4%. You know, it's amazing what happened in 6-8 months time when you go from a virtually 0% interest rate to a 4% earning interest rate.
Sure is.
And then it's affecting, the market for in the real estate world. You know, housing sales are ostensibly down. The mortgage rates are way up, you know, 6%? Home mortgages, and that, of course, affects the multifamily market as well.
Yeah. Well, we've only got a few minutes here, Dan, so let's talk about this. This is a value add, first of all. Let's clarify that. 392-unit property. It's somewhere far from us. I believe this is a 506C transaction, so I guess we could disclose it, but I'd rather not. If you want to learn more, consider working with us, and we'll help you find deals like this and others for you to make the decision as to whether you invest. We'll help you understand the math as to what you're signing up for, the pro forma math, that is, and we'll help you compare, you know, A versus B or B versus D. But in any event, this is a 392-unit that purportedly the rental rates are $350 per month. Monthly rental rates below competing properties. And let me just say, I guess, to continue the little intro, you know, you might, as we get into this, you may say, well, gee, why are these folks wanting to sell this property? And you have to understand that the period we're in right now, in terms of inflation, interest rates have gone up, loan to value, that would be LTVs, have come down. So it's not just that the lender is going to want more interest to be paid. They're cutting the amount they'll loan you, which means you got to bring more equity to the table, which means your numbers in terms of the pro forma math that you're telling prospective investors they can achieve is going to go down. It's like a triple or quadruple whammy, right, Dan? It's not just...
Yeah, you know, this particular property you're talking about, too, reading it further in the detail, it's a 68% loan to cost, LTC they call it, but it's cross collateralized with another property. So I mean, this is really is that a five whammy then? I mean, you got another property that's securing this property.
You know, but you know what I think people fail to realize. I hear buyers complaining about. Well, sellers are unyielding and, you know, they're not willing. They still think their asset's worth a lot of money. Well, they just haven't.
And it is.
Well, it is. But I remember I've sold several pieces of real estate where, you know, agents kept trying to get me to lower the price. And my response was, look, change the lure. The right fish hadn't seen it yet. Okay. It's not the price. The price is just one component. You've got to think creatively as to what the value is to the other side, not to necessarily to the seller. And, you know, you and I were just talking, Dan, about one of my domains that I've had someone offer to buy from me off of GoDaddy, and they keep asking, well, how much do you want? You know what? I don't want anything for it, but if you want to get it, you tell me what it's worth to you. You're the one that matters. It's not me. I'm not going to take it, obviously, if it's peanuts, but okay. So you got to just always consider what's the value, what's the issue, where's the pain, and that's really a big one. On the other side, and there are sellers in this market that are coming up to being forced to do refinances, or worse, they've already executed the extension on their existing debt. They've got to sell, and you don't always know the perspective they're coming from. And so I look at this transaction, whoever they're buying this from, they probably have to sell. If they're really reducing the price, as these guys say, or they're willing to sell it with so much meat on the bone, that tells me there's some information behind the scenes we don't know about. But anyway, just generally to show essentially how the numbers are getting a little softer, you know, this project would have a target internal rate of return of somewhere in the 18 to 19% range. A little bit lower than the 21 to 22, maybe 25 that we've seen on other transactions. the target average cash on cash return is what, Dan? I think I remember it.
7.5%.
That's okay, good.
It's really high.
Well, and it's really average. Okay? And what do we say about averages? None of us are average. We're all normal, right? So
we're all real.
So these guys could theoretically do zero for the first 4 years and then come in with a goalie washer in the fifth and be right there on average, right, on target. So I don't know. I didn't dig in at the on the business plan. Maybe you did to see when they start. I think they've got a distribution. The high-level sales pitch says May of 2023. So this is one that if you were needing to live off the distributions and you couldn't afford to wait until the exit, which, you know, we see deals on both ends of the equation where you don't get anything until the property exits, and that's not a problem if you're still generating significant cash flows from other sources, including maybe your profession, whatever it is that you do. Dan, how long are they going to hold this thing? Or they think they're going to hold it?
Five years.
So fairly, yeah. Fairly
they're
typical.
They're going to increase rent over 30% in 1 year, in that actually in a 3 year period, they're projecting a 30% increase in rent, which, you know, the area that they're promoting is very business oriented. I mean, it loves business, this particular area, and it is in a high growth area, what they're saying. This thing was built in 1994, but it's very comfortable looking to some very, I guess, probably a B class.
Yeah. And these guys, yeah, these guys have over 2,000, well, about 2,500 units in the immediate area, so they do know the market. But 30%, man, that's stout. And you'll know we've been critical of other pro formas we see where they're saying 20-25% over 3 years. But Dan, one last thing before we get kicked off the air here: is there an exit cap mention? What they're projecting?
They're looking at a 2.08 EMX. Is that what you're talking about?
No. What are they thinking?
Cap rate. They're buying it at 3.2. They're proudly selling it at 4.5.
Well, both those. Yeah, both those are. I mean, a 3.2. Gee, they're paying a bunch of money. That's like buying a T-bill, I guess. But I don't know. Here's another one that to me that's. Ambitious, thinking they're going to sell it to 4.7 in 5 years.
They do some stress testing at throwing it up to as high as 5%. I think it is five and a half percent.
That's good. My own stress test is, but to go up to 6.5, and it's amazing how much less cash is there if you do that. Listen,
exactly.
We're at the end of the show. Thanks for joining me, Dan, and. Thanks for you who are listening, having tuned in, and we'll be back next week. I'm going to be right here in the studio again, and look forward to whatever our topic becomes next week. We've got to get into some entity planning, and I'm going to try to have some concepts lined up to discuss on the air. In any event, thank you for listening, and we welcome you a week from today, 7 a.m. Sunday, right here on KSEV.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.